Hello and welcome. This is another coronavirus edition of Sactown Talks. Today we have a very special guest, Mayor Tasha Cerda from the city of Gardena. We'll be talking everything about cities and local impacts of coronavirus. Mayor Cerda, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mayor Cerda, kind of what's the latest going on in Gardena and kind of what are the impacts you're seeing from COVID and how are you dealing with it?
Well, we're dealing with it as best we can. For the most part, everything is shut down with the exception of essential businesses here. Our city hall is closed to the public. We have what we call our ELC up and running, which is our emergency operations center, where we check on our hospitals, convalescent homes, and make sure that people in our community understand social distancing. We put out quick little PSA videos on social media, on TV as well, just keeping everybody informed of what's happening. Currently, we have about 124 confirmed cases in our city. We have had one death, and our community is just dealing with it, and they're doing very well, under the circumstances.
Yeah. Dealing with public safety and things like that, have you noticed much of a need to kind of keep citizens in, or citizens wanting to kind of go out and test the limits of the stay-at-home order, or are people being fairly good in staying inside so far?
Everybody's pretty cooperative at this point. We had a few businesses out there that were determined to stay open, so we had to give them a gentle reminder that, you're not an essential business, right, and it's important that you close. A lot of our businesses, of course, is with everywhere, they're hurting. And so they want to hurry up and open back up. They're ready to practice some social distancing, even in the business. But for the most part, as far as residents are concerned, they're adhering to this, as best we can.
Right. I know they've kind of relaxed a lot of the, Brown Act requirements and kind of open meeting requirements. I guess, how are you guys dealing with the city council meetings and local government day-to-day business?
So far we've been doing everything telephonically. In fact, our first meeting we will be doing this coming Tuesday will be with Zoom. So again, like I said, it's very new for us, but we just got through an election. So we literally had to swear in a new council member and one who was just reelected. So that was a little awkward, our city council meetings are closed to the public. And so you didn't get the typical fanfare of when somebody is sworn in. And it's just different. Everybody's on the phone. We're all separated. And we have a really great council. And we're very used to always being there and, working together. And we kind of vibe a little off that. So it's very different. But we're still moving things forward. Our meetings are on YouTube. We have a live channel where you can watch the meeting. So people are still getting the information, through us. But it's different. It's right. Something we've never experienced before.
Is the public able to participate anyways through this social media or kind of letter writing? I know kind of a lot of cities have that 1 minute kind of free speech kind of aspect to the meeting. Anything?
Yes. So they're able to email their questions in to our city clerk, and you can do this simultaneously throughout the meeting, and she can read that. And yes, so we still have oral communications that is, available that way, and go from there. But so far, I haven't really heard much in the sense of people wanting to, get their information across to us. What I am noticing is a lot on social media, people are kind of addressing their concerns that way, because our city council, as well as our city, they're very active on social media. So we're getting, a lot of feedback that way, and we're addressing it, in that manner there.
Right. Kind of something that was in the news today was the economic stimulus for cities is kind of capped at populations of 500,000. There was a call with the governor recently to address this issue. Have you been involved in these talks about help getting Gardena some funding from the economic stimulus package?
I was not involved in that phone call there because periodically we have, where mayors can get on with it. But, it's not a good thing for us because our city, we're a size of 61,000. So, that obviously affects us. And, even with the governor's decision to, with our businesses to defer the sales tax for 1 year, that's really going to hurt us. Right. So, we're planning right now, how we're going to deal with that because that's going to have that rolling effect, not just this year, but it's going to trickle down to, you know, 2 years out, 3 years out. It's going to take us a while to recover from that.
Yeah. What's, could you kind of bring us up on kind of the fiscal status of Gardenia, how you guys are doing kind of budget wise currently?
Well, prior to COVID, we were doing great, but with this, with all the changes that are going to be happening, you know, between skeleton crews, we're cutting back on some of our services. We're already seeing we're going to be in the hole $10 million just off the bat. And, you know, as we're projecting down the line, you know, what it's going to take for us to get back on track. I mean, for planning 2-3 years down, you know, before we can get back to where we were at before, there's so much, you know, to think about in terms of our casinos are completely closed, and Gardenia is unique in the fact that we have two casinos in our city. Those are completely closed. They employ over 1,000 employees. They're one of our, you know, biggest employers there. So with that being shut down, that's a big revenue hit because that accounts for 14% of our budget. And then, you know, like I said, with the sales tax, you know, if it's, well, not if, but when it gets deferred, that's going to hurt us a lot as well. So, you know, we're just, I don't want to use the term we're scrambling, but, you know, there's a lot that, you know, we have to rethink now. And, you know, just even, you know, the idea of furloughing or laying off, you know, that's a really big concern of ours right now, right? Because our residents and our businesses, they're used to Gardenia being a definitely a full service type, right, of community. And, you know, we're really known for that and how we go over and beyond with that. And to have less staff be able to accommodate our communities, it's really going to hurt.
When does the city's fiscal year begin?
In June.
In June. So it mirrors the state's kind of fiscal year?
Yes.
So will, yes, you guys even, exactly, have enough information to do a full budget for the city at this time?
Well, because things are changing on a regular basis, I believe they will, because, you know, of course, when we have our yearly budget, we, you know, do a mid-year budget, you know, as far as where we're at. And, you know, our finance guys, you know, they're keeping us up to date every single week, you know, as far as what's changing and so on. So I believe we will have something, you know, and moving forward with this here, because we'll have something, because, I mean, that's where we're making all of our decisions based on what we can do and how we can go further. So, yes, I believe we will.
Wow. You know, mentioned the casinos and the revenue you get from the casinos. Kind of what, you know, mm-hmm, you have sales tax. What other kind of revenue generators does the city of Gardenia depend on?
Well, we depend on our TOT tax from our hotels. We have a couple, you know, what I consider medium-sized hotels that are doing really well. They're fairly new hotels. Smaller, we have a couple of smaller ones, but the bigger ones are what I consider more of the big deal. We have a couple of car lots here, you know, our Honda and our Nissan dealership in the city. So those are other big revenuers for us, as well as manufacturing. Gardenia is a community that has a pretty decent sized manufacturing. We have companies like Airfare, where they supply the food for a couple of the airlines. We also have a couple of like newspaper companies where they print up newspapers for like LA Times and Daily Breeze, several different, you know, things like that. So all of those things are affected right now. So, wow. Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, how is a city supposed to make money if you're not getting sales tax?
Exactly.
Gaming revenue.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really uncertain. And does Gardenia have its own police force and its own fire department and all that?
So we do have our own police department, but we're contracted through LA County for our fire department. And, you know, everything else we have, you know, is in-house. You know, our public works is in-house. You know, we don't contract that out. You know, our parks and rec, you know, I mean, everything with the exception of the fire department is in-house there. So, you know, these are all the things that we're looking at on a daily basis, like, okay, you know,
right, yeah,
you know, it's a hard decision because these aren't just our employees, but these are people that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, we understand they have families, and Gardenia is a very close-knit community. You know, our residents, they know our employees very well. They know their families. So it's for us, it's a really hard decision. It's not just like an employer, you know, employee type of thing. It's, right, when you think about the potential of possible layoffs, it's not just that person, but it's the whole family. Right. So, yeah.
You know, you've been in city service for quite a while. You know, in 2008, during the last recession, You know, I'm sure the city's had to make big cuts. Are you guys projecting a similar situation or any parallels to 2008?
Well, I came in office in 2009, but I was following everything with the city council for about 10 years before I came in office. And at that time, the city was on the verge of bankruptcy. You know, they were $26 million in debt, and they were trying very hard not to lay off any employees, no furloughs. And that even trickled in to when I came on the council in 2009. And they were just very strategic in the fact of, you know, there were no there was a hiring freeze. There were no raises at the time, and we just did more with less. So they tried to make it work. So I'm hoping that we could try to do the same thing this time. You know, that's the plan, you know, that I'd like to see. But, you know, I understand, you know, where we were at economically in 2008, you know, there were, you know, the whole foreclosure, you know, issue. I mean, we had a lot of foreclosures. I want to say it was something like 1,400 foreclosures in Gardena. And, you know, now we're talking under 50, you know, that, I mean, that's just been over a period of 11 years now. So I'm hoping we can, you know, be creative and try to do some of the same things that started, you know, in 2008 and making sure that, you know, we kept our employees and, you know, we can figure something out in that manner.
Do you guys have any hospitals in Gardena?
Yes, we have two hospitals. We have Gardena Hospital and we have a private hospital. So two of those. And actually, I take that back. Both are private hospital. One just has the name Gardena Hospital. It's like a community one, but it is private as well. So, yeah.
And have you noticed, you know, kept up with the impact of COVID at the hospitals and kind of, you know, how they've been impacted?
We have. So in what, and I don't know if I mentioned earlier in our ELC, our that we have, that's our emergency operations center. We check with our hospitals every day and our convalescent homes to see, you know, the number of confirmed cases that they have and also the number of confirmed staff members that are getting sick. So there is every single day we give them a call and, you know, we get a report back just because we need to stay on top of it. We're charting all of this as well because we want to see, you know, is it increasing? Are we at that point where we're flattening the curve yet, you know, getting past that? And I was just there yesterday and I can't remember the exact number for the hospitals, but it's still relatively low, you know, in comparison to what we were planning for. I did find out yesterday that we have one convalescent home, and this was kind of, the numbers are so scary. They had 27 patients and they had 27 staff members that were, I'm sorry, 27 patients that were infected and 27 staff members infected. Wow. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And because this is like a senior nursing convalescent home. And I'm thinking, oh dear, you know, what's happening here? It's so
wildfire. You know, you were talking about how in 2008, 2009, there was a $26 million, I guess, debt the city owed.
Yes.
So moving forward, kind of what's the plan of filling the gap? Can cities take on debt? Or are you looking for some sort of relief from the state? And kind of how are you going to navigate that?
Well, I'm hoping as things begin to start opening back up, you know, I know it's going to probably be like a slow rollout in phases. I'm hoping that, you know, the governor or, you know, elected in Sacramento, they can make some amendments to some of these changes here because, you know, cities like ours, they can easily go bankrupt, 61,000 people. And, you know, what we're depending on, you know, as far as local government, with our hotels, you know, if some of our hotels start taking in homeless, you know, how that's going to affect us with the TOT. So these are all the things that I'm hoping that there'll be some type of amendments, you know, even down to, like I said, deferring the sales tax a year. That's a lot to ask. And at the same time, I feel for our smaller businesses, but as a whole, how as a city are we going to be able to operate too? Because these are all the things that we need. And with the casinos, you know, so.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot of, you know, there's been like, you know, people haven't been, you know, not able to pay rent. And so kind of landlords are saying, well, what about us? How are we supposed to make our mortgage payments? And kind of there's two sides of the coin that we don't always think of is, if, you know, businesses can't afford the sales tax, but then how are we going to afford our city kind of public safety basics? You know, how are we going to afford our city services? So it's very important aspect to remember. I know you're on a couple other different boards and committees. I believe you're on a JPA dealing with gaming cities. Is that right?
That's correct.
And how long have you been with that JPA?
So I've been with it for over a year now, and it's a organization that's cities that have cart rooms. They're always part of I won't say always, but they're usually part of organizations like this that represent cities. I've been a member of this one here for about a year now. And in the time that I've been there, I've learned way more than I thought I ever would have learned about casinos. Right. And I'm not a real gambler per se, but I feel like I've learned it on the other side as far as the impact it has on cities. And so far, it's been a great learning experience. And before I knew it, I was the chairman of the committee. And I think my city manager knew that was coming when he put me on the board, because, or asked me if I wanted to sit on the board, because I told him, I said, don't sit me on a board that you don't want me to jump in and start working hard for, because I think you know my work ethic here. So yeah, so before I knew it, I was a chairman.
Always ready to jump in. Yeah, I've seen you up here in Sacramento testifying in a couple of committees, most notably about budget issues, dealing with the Bureau of Gambling Control. Been pretty vocal on kind of consolidating the two agencies into something that might be more efficient. I guess kind of, can you go into more detail about kind of your thoughts about the current state of the regulation, state regulation of gaming, and how it can be made better?
Well, I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair, the attacks that our casinos are getting right now. And it seems like there's a lot of favoritism towards the tribes. And I believe that there is enough room for everyone out there. And but when you give way more to one side versus the other, and it's almost like it's no thought into it, in the sense of, well, we're gonna change this for you. And it's like, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. How are you just going to make these changes, as it relates to advertising, as it relates to banking, rotation, all of that. And, we're going to testify, for instance, sorry, I'm getting phone calls in here. Are you still there? Okay, there you go. As we're going to these different hearings and we're talking about the impacts it's going to have on our city, I feel a little concerned, they're writing these comments down, but are you really listening to this? Are you really listening to the fact of how the trickle down effect of when you make these changes to our casinos, how their revenues are going to affect the city's revenues, how it's going to affect our residents, and not just in the cities that have the card rooms, but neighboring cities, because one benefits the other. All of our employees who work in the card rooms don't just live, for instance, in Gardena. They live in Torrance, they live in LA, and homelessness is such a big issue, and there are cutbacks on so many different things. And now it's like one more thing that a person has to worry about now. And I think it's really unfair. And, that's something that I go to bed with every night thinking, potentially, like even right now with COVID, you have over 1,000 employees in our two casinos that are unemployed right now. What happens, when things go back up, and if the Attorney General makes these kind of changes that I feel that he might? There again, it's bad. It's not just a temporary thing like COVID; it's a permanent thing.
Right.
So that's a big deal, and I feel like I wish a little bit. I don't know that we're getting what's the word I'm trying to think of. They're taking it seriously, like as if all the ways that we're saying this is going to affect us. The unemployment, like they don't believe it's really going to happen, and how it's going to affect California overall. These are our lives we're dealing with. These are people. It's not just a number, their faces, their families, and I think sometimes when, as you move up in government, sometimes you forget the people at the bottom. And in local government, like myself as a mayor, I'm out here every single day talking to people, not so much with COVID, but right. Just in general. You're talking to people and you're hearing their stories one-on-one, whether it's your neighbor or the person down the street. How are they going to make it? Some of these people can't even afford a car, and they're riding the bus to and from the casinos to get to work. So, now you're talking about taking away their livelihoods. So that's a lot. And I just hope in Sacramento, they're really hearing, the effects of this.
Yeah. 14% of your budget would be a difficult thing to replace. I know there's
almost $10 million a year.
Did you say $10 million a year? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be definitely, that's like 10 Walmarts.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there's been talks about kind of, you know, sports betting, you know, the tribes violent initiative. Looks like that's kind of stalled due to COVID right now.
Correct.
You know, there's been talks about a legislative deal. You know, as a city that derives income from a casino, have you guys put any thought about how, you know, cities might be involved in a possible sports betting initiative?
Yes, there is some discussion that we have been talking about with the, you know, CCGA as it, you know, relates to that. And I apologize. I'm just kind of looking back here at my notes here. There's so many SB different bills here. But yes, we are, we've taken initiative with that and making sure that as it, you know, it would definitely be in a brick and mortar. And, you know, make sure that that money that would go with that would go towards, you know, cities.
So basically, you know, the more revenue your casinos in Gardena make, the more revenue the, I guess, the city of Gardena make. And, you know,
that's correct.
What you're looking for.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we're the advocates for our cities. I mean, you know, if we're not advocating for our city, who is?
Right. A question I get asked a lot is kind of to predict the future here and see, you know, when we might get back to normal or businesses might start opening up. Is that something that, as the city, that you've been talking to the local county health officers to kind of get a sense of, I guess, when and what's it going to take to get the economy back up and running?
Well, I haven't quite, I mean, we have been talking with, for instance, you know, our Congress people. I've spoken with a couple of assembly members, and I think they have information for us, but they don't, everything is just, it's just changing so on a day-to-day basis. I mean, they think they know, you know, when it may open back up, and they think they know how it's going to roll out, but I don't think anybody really knows. Right. You know, it's changing so, and, you know, at some point, I believe it's going to end up coming down to individual cities. I mean, you know, I understand every governor in each state, you know, they're going to, they'll have some say, but I think at some point, it's going to go down to locally, in my opinion, because, you know, you have, Gardena is not that far from the beach communities, you know, beach communities versus a city like Gardena, more manufacturing community, it's different, you know, right. And I think it's gonna start going down in a sense to local government as well. You know, you have other cities that are more manufacturing, total, you know, manufacturing, and, you know, at some point, you know your area better than anybody else does, and the governor, I believe, will have, you know, a lot of say in this, but I think there's probably going to start becoming some pushback from the local side as well.
Yeah. Are you sensing any kind of restlessness from the people in the city of kind of wanting to go outside more? I know up and down the state, it's going to be pretty warm this next week or so. And, you know, the temptation to go to the beach and kind of people to go out, you know, have you sensed that or seen any of that kind of angst from people being locked up too long?
Not in Gardena, but, you know, I'm not far from Orange County, and we are hearing a lot of, you know, how the residents there are feeling. We're, like I said, we're making it work. Gardena is a large retirement, I don't want to say retirement community. We have a lot of retirees in our community as well, too. So I think they're making it work. At this point, I think we all have cabin fever, including me. But, you know, for the most part, the residents are have been doing really, really good with this. And I'm really happy about that. And even when I talk to the mayors in some of our neighboring cities, the same thing, you know, they've been really, really good. I think it's more so just our businesses that really want to get back up and going.
Yeah, I know, you know, my nieces and nephews aren't too disappointed they don't have school anymore.
Right.
Their dreams are true.
Right.
That is a burden on the parents and everyone trying to keep up with everyone. So
right exactly. But you know, one of the things that I did want to mention is, you know, the CCGA, the one of the bills that we sponsored was the SB 1092, where it would shift the control to local government from the state to local government, where we can control the number of tables that we can have in our casinos. And that's one of the sponsored bills that you know, that we're pushing. And I think, again, a lot of this needs to stay with local government here, because as I said before, who knows your city better than we do? Even when new games are approved, you know, from the Bureau, as a city, we have to approve these as well before these games can be played. And so I just think that, you know, even the initiative we're taking with this, you know, new bill that we sponsored, that should be in our hands as well. And I think that's something that's important, that hopefully we can get even more support, you know, with that, because, like I said, you know, some of our other neighboring cities with their card rooms, we understand the effects, cities that have card rooms versus cities that don't have card rooms in it. We rely on them in a different way than cities that don't. They rely more on maybe the TOT in their cities, where we might not have it as much of that. So, right. And we've had our card rooms in Gardena probably since the 50s. So there was one time, and I moved to Gardena in the 70s, the late 70s, we had 7 card rooms in our city. Wow. And I think even before my family moved here, there may have been 8 or 9, but, you know, it's dwindled down to 2, you know, now we're here in 2020, we have 2, and, you know, Gardena's dependent on this for a long time. This year, we're entering our 90th anniversary, so you figure if we've had card rooms since the 50s, that's been a good portion of, yeah, you know, the time that Gardena's even been incorporated. So there's a lot of dependence there.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and very informative. And I hope you are doing well and keep safe. You're doing a great job representing the city of Gardena and the citizens. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You too.
Some are called dreamers.